Unemployment stays the same, but some jobs were shed in February.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, it's The Morning Open. Good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. The Labor Department's employment report shows 36,000 jobs lost in February and an unchanged unemployment rate of 9.7%. We're going to dig into those numbers coming up. Also, China and Google might bury the hatchet. And Robert Reich looks ahead to financial reform here in this country. But first, where's Wall Street? The S&P up about 0.2%. The NASDAQ up more than 0.5%. Same for the Dow, up 61 points now at 10,505. European shares are higher at the moment as well. Markets in Asia had some fairly big gains today, with the Nikkei adding more than 2.2%. Let's talk about that Labor Department employment report out today. Still no job growth, but certainly not the job losses like we saw a year ago. Chris Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial. He's with us live this morning from New York. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
All right, so if you were writing today's headline for this report, how would it read?
Well, it's not a rave, but on balance, a better-than-expected employment report in February.
All right, and as an economist, Chris, what strikes you as the most telling part of this report?
I think maybe the most important thing is the unemployment rate, which was unchanged at 9.7. That's still obviously much too high. But it fell 0.3 last month. Everyone thought it would back up 0.1 or so. The fact that it didn't is a good sign that we've got momentum moving in the right direction.
But we're still at just under 10% unemployment. There are still a lot of people out of work. I mean, what should they read into this report going forward?
Well, this is the most frustrating part. Turning the U.S. economy is like turning an oil tanker. It takes a really long time. But we have good momentum here in the numbers, and I think by spring, we'll start to see actual job growth. 6 to 12 months down the road, we'll see encouraging levels of job growth. If you can hang on just for a few more months, it is getting better.
Encouraging job growth. So 6 months down the road, we're talking, you know, jobs on the plus side?
Absolutely. On the plus side, 100,000 or more jobs created a month. There's decent momentum here. We've come from losses of almost 1 million a month to the last 3 months where jobs are essentially unchanged.
Chris Lowe from New York. Chris, thanks.
You're welcome.
The House of Representatives passed a $15 billion jobs bill yesterday, just a day before the employment numbers came out. Congress wants to prove it's doing something to bring down the unemployment rate. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
The House bill is a scaled-down version of a measure the Senate passed last week. Democratic leaders in the Senate had hoped the House would pass the Senate bill as is, so it could be sent to President Obama before today's numbers came out. But the Senate isn't expected to consider the revised bill until next week. Still, White House spokesman Robert Gibbs is trying to convey a sense of urgency. He says this is just the beginning of Democrats' efforts to bring down the unemployment rate.
The president is not going to be satisfied that we've taken all the steps or made all the progress that's necessary to get our economy moving again and to begin to put the 8.4 to 8.5 million that have lost their job since this recession began in 2007 back to work.
Democrats are hoping to pass at least 4 more jobs bills in the next few weeks. Those bills would extend unemployment benefits, increase lending to small businesses, and give states aid so they don't have to lay off public employees like teachers and police officers. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
The Greek parliament today passed a package of tax hikes and pay cuts for government workers. The $6.5 billion deal will help pull the Mediterranean nation out of deep debt. All that as protesters threw rocks outside the parliament building and had to be subdued by police with tear gas. 7 weeks ago, Google threatened to pull out of China, saying censorship and computer hacking were just too much. And yet the two sides are still talking, and they could be making nice. Marketplace's Scott Tong reports from Shanghai.
A lot of internet geeks in China thought Google would have left by now. When the company whined about Chinese web controls and hacking, chances seemed low that Beijing would accommodate the company. But is it? Social media strategist Tom Crampton is with Ogilvy Public Relations. He thinks China's reacting to pressure from U.S. Secretary of State Clinton. She's made the Google case a diplomatic beef.
It's something the U.S. government has almost worked in concert with Google to raise this beyond an issue that is about one company.
Google may think Beijing is heeding its complaints. Or the company may have had a change of heart and decided 31% of China's vast web search market is not so bad after all. Problem is, if it stays in China, it'll have to explain itself back home.
Google is now going to be held quite accountable domestically in the U.S. to the statements it made.
For now, it seems Google is A-OK in China. It's hiring Chinese engineers. And next week, rolls out smartphones in China with Google software. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Friday, March 5th, 2010 at marketplace.org. Hollywood royalty walks the red carpet this weekend. The 82nd Academy Awards are Sunday. It's been a big year for movies. Attendance and revenues are on the rise, and that's got theater owners spending. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith has more.
Last year, when almost every other industry saw sales plummet, movie theaters were hopping. Attendance grew 4.5%. Jason Squire teaches film at USC. He says the recession played a role, and so did the types of movies that were released.
It's a combination of escapism plus getting an unparalleled, unique experience.
Things like 3D and digital picture. Squire says those technologies give people a reason to see a movie in the theater. Several major chains just unveiled a $660 million plan to convert screens across the country to digital. Still, movie theaters are now very much a niche business, says Edward J. Epstein, author of The Hollywood Economist.
It won't change the basic dynamics of the entertainment industry. And that is a dynamic where there is a niche audience of about 10%, give or take 1%, who go to the theaters.
Everybody else watches those movies online, on demand, and on their phones. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Well, the movie Avatar is up for 9 Oscars, including Best Picture. It might surprise you to hear India played a supporting role in that blockbuster. As Raymond Thibodeau reports from New Delhi, it's a sign India is outgrowing its image as a sweatshop for the world's IT industry.
The BioLab. We're going to spend a lot of time up here.
In this scene from the movie Avatar, the main character Jake Sully enters the lab where the avatars are made. And much of that lab is computer-generated by a company with deeper roots in Bollywood than Hollywood.
We did almost 200 visual effects shots, which included all the lab sequences.
Namit Malhotra is founder and CEO of Prime Focus, the India-based company that also created much of the movie's command center and helicopters.
Being one of the front runners from India, obviously it's a feeling of pride for us. India is ready for the big game.
Having an on-screen role in such a big movie confirms that Hollywood isn't just outsourcing the drudge work of the visual effects trade to Indian companies. Sam Mittal is president of India's biggest IT and outsourcing industry association. He says the world woke up to India's IT and software industry in 1999, then stressed Western companies used Indian technicians to address glitches they feared would arise in computer systems as the new century dawned.
Well, you know, when you go back to Y2K, I think it gave visibility of what can be done. It was really about how you can do certain things in a compressed time and meet a deadline.
Mittal says since then, Indian software technicians have matured. Animators have come of age and are better able to compete in global cutting-edge markets.
If you look at what's happening in animation here, it's about confluence of technology and creativity. So I think that's the change in every sphere that we are seeing in the IT sector.
The animation and visual effects industry is a tiny part of India's IT sector, but it's one of the fastest growing, and it's aiming for even bigger Hollywood roles. The U.S. movie Clash of the Titans is being converted to 3D. The Indian company Prime Focus is doing the conversion. In New Delhi, I'm Raymond Thibodeau for Marketplace.
White House's plan for financial regulatory reform has gotten a pretty cool reception so far in Congress. So what are the chances of passage? Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich is with us this morning to give us his thoughts. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Steve.
Are we finally getting some movement on financial reform on both sides of the aisle?
A bit. The biggest sticking point has been over a new agency to protect consumers from abuses. You know, like mortgage bankers steering borrowers away from standard 30-year fixed loans toward higher-priced subprime loans. The House approved the creation of an independent consumer protection agency. The Senate Banking Committee seems on the verge of a compromise that would put the Consumer Protection Agency inside the Federal Reserve. The only problem is the Fed already has a consumer division, and so far it's notably failed to protect consumers.
That sounds a lot like bureaucratic gamesmanship.
Yes. Well, behind it is politics, of course. The simple fact, Steve, is that Wall Street doesn't want to deal with another agency. It doesn't want more oversight and is doing whatever it can to avoid it.
Are banks still going to be too big to fail?
No. And this actually is the encouraging thing. Bipartisan agreement on what they're calling a hybrid resolution fund. A fancy word meaning basically a fund to pay the costs of dismantling large financial firms that get into trouble. And much of the funding will be coming from the large banks.
What about, Bob, the so-called Volcker rule that would partly reestablish this wall between commercial and investment banking?
Well, the White House now wants it, but it's going nowhere. Wall Street hates it, and the Senate Banking Committee doesn't want to get near it.
So then does it look like we're going to get financial reform this year?
Well, let's put it this way, Steve. We'll get something. But the way it's moving, it won't be strong or bold enough to prevent another financial meltdown, I'm afraid.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich and current professor of public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Bob, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
And finally, the Securities and Exchange Commission has filed suit against a man who calls himself America's prophet. Sean David Morton's charged with bilking $6 million for more than 100, quote-unquote, investors. He promoted his psychic powers as a way of predicting stock trends. The SEC says the only power Morton had was one of persuasion. Now, given his self-proclaimed status, you have to wonder why he didn't see those charges from the SEC coming. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. Check us out online, share your thoughts with us, and get the podcast while you're at our website, marketplace.org, and check out the Marketplace Minute there as well. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.